Shalom Aleichem. Eli Belazon. Erez David. Gershon Eisenberger. Adam Feldenthal. Oh. Ezra Fraser. It's here yesterday. Rafael Goldstein is here. Not here. It's here yesterday. Okay. Joshua Lovinger. Robinson, still in the ship? Oh, okay. Yosef Wexler, Matan Wexler, Rafi Rosenblum, Eric Kotkin, Adam Ermelstein, Yitzhak Cohen. Who's Yitzhak Cohen? Is in the ship? Okay. Okay, Neil Rich, Yami Schechter. Okay. Okay. Kenneth Axelrod, Ellie Belazon again, Evan Brody. Okay. Buchbinder, David Fettergrun, Jonathan Frankel, Ayal Frist, was here yesterday. Okay. Moshe Goldfeder, Yigal Gross, Daniel Hertz. Not Nishir. Okay. Rafael Jacobs. Joshua Pra. Jacob Lewin. Okay. Ryan Newfield. Uriel Rabinovich. Okay. Rakowski is here. Okay. My Chavrusa Raps is here. Simcha Rimler. You in the Shia? Does he exist? There is such a person, Simcha Rimler? You in the Shia? Okay. Yisrael Rose. Let's see. Jonathan Sassoon. Okay. Yakir Schechter. Who is Benjamin Singfer? Okay. Stuart Schlafrock. Michael Turov, Yamish. Yamish isn't this year? He's sick. His wife will have to take care of him. Okay, is there anybody else who's supposed to be in this year? His name is supposed to be officially on the list. Okay. Good. Fine. So the Gemara is trying to ascertain where these malachas were in the Mishkan. So the Gemara says, where was there? What do you think? So the Gemara says, where was there kosher and matir in the Mishkan? So the Gemara says, tzadik halotim of kosher and matir. Okay. We had a tupshatim where the kosherim, where they were matir on manoslikshur, or sometimes they would be kosher, and sometimes they would be matir. And matir is really a malacha bifnei atzmo, provided that it's not a mekalkel. It's not that matir means hachana l'kshir. So that was the issue that Tosfos raised on the Mishnah, and the Rashi and the Tosfos, Rashi has two pshatim. Tosfos on Adav quotes that Rashi later doesn't write the same pshat that he writes on Adav. Then the Gemara says, where do you have Korea in the Mishkan? So the Gemara says, don't worry, there was Korea in the Mishkan. So if the Urias of the Mishkan would have a worm that would eat a part of the Urias, so there would have to be Korea all around it, and then sew it back all together again. Right. And then we spoke yesterday briefly about the Rambam, that the Rambam has some kind of a source. The Achrayim don't know exactly what the source is. The Rambam says that the one who glues together two pieces of paper is also tofer, and when you separate, when you have two pieces of paper glued together and you separate them, that's Korea also. And a discussion in the Chacham Sfina later, would that be a malacha deraisa? To open up the back of the envelope, would that be a malacha deraisa? Is that called misakein? Because now that the envelope is open, you can read what's inside. Is that called tzricha legufa? You don't need the kera, but in order to get to the letter inside, you have to do a kera. So it's a whole discussion in the Okay. Let's say there's a knot. Let's say there's a double knot. Sometimes the tzitzis become very loose. There's a double knot, but it's so loose, it's not really going to hold. So the stomach, that's a kera she'ena shel kayama. Then when you tighten it, you make it into a kera shel kayama, a kesher. You make it into a kesher shel kayama. So the stomach, that if you have a loose knot, a double knot that's loose, and you make it tight, the stomach, that's a malach of kosher. I take a kesher she'ena shel kayama, make it into a kesher shel kayama. So the Gemara has such a statement on the top. Amarav Zutra Batuvi, Amarav, the code Rav Hamaseh Chut Shal Tfir B'Shabbos Chayv Chattas. Tfir is only if you take two pieces of cloth and you stitch it together like this, that's called Tfir. So the Gemara says, Achidish, even if the two pieces of cloth are stitched together, but the stitching is so loose, the stitches are very much wider than the garment. It's sticking out on both sides. So when you tighten it, if you make it tight, Hamaseh Chut Shal Tfir B'Shabbos is also a Chayv Chattas. Means I took Tfir Sheina Shal Kayama and made it into Shal Kayama, like taking a kesher that's loose and making it tight, take a kesher Sheina Shal Kayama, make it into a kesher Shal Kayama. So that's also called kosher. So this is also called tefer. This din of tefira, that if you take two pieces of cloth and you stitch them together, you mechaber them together with chut, that's a malach of tefira. And what if you take a diaper pin, you're diapering a baby, or an adult, it's a woman's dress, it's falling apart, so she takes a pin, takes a, what do you call it, diaper pin?
Take a safety pin,
and you hold together the different pieces of cloth. And it holds together well, and it's tight. So is that also a violation of tefira? So you can't diaper your babies. So that's what the, when I was, when we had babies, they were still in spa. They still had their diapers, the diaper pins, yeah. So the Korban Nisanal on the bottom of the Rosh writes that when you use a diaper pin to be mechaber together two pieces of cloth, that's also a violation of tefira. It holds together. You may say it's not tefir or shel kayama, because you don't plan to leave the diaper on for more than 2, 3, 4 hours. How long are you going to leave the diaper on? Okay, so it could be that it's tefir or shel kayama, but it should still be an isa derabonim. It should still constitute a problem of an isa derabonim. So what are you going to say? So let's not use diaper pins. We'll use Pampers. So the pamper is going to hold on. The pamper, the Raman says, is also tzira. If you have two pieces of paper, you glue them together, it's also called tzira. So Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva where he quotes the Korban Nisanal. He disagrees. Machlokes on a level of their right. Rav Moshe thinks that the only time it's called tzira as a chiddush is if you're using thread that can blend in with the cloth. The cloth is made from thread. A shesin in there above thread. It may be different colors thread, maybe different texture, but it's still sof kol sof, everything is thread. So the thread that you're doing the tefir with blends in with the material, blends in with the cloth, and it becomes one. But if you use a diaper pin, which is metal, and the material is cloth, it doesn't blend in. So Rav Moshe has a chiddush. She thinks that that's not a violation of tefir. So this is an ongoing debate whether diaper pins constitute tefir or not. I have to learn the Masechta. Sometimes if you have it, it's the Tzarach Gadol. So sometimes if something is only the Rabbanon, or if you have a few the Rabbanon, so if you have a Shavuos the Shavuos, we discussed, if you have a Shavuos the Shavuos, the Mokum Tzarach Gadol, so you make it. So if one should assume that a diaper pin is only a Tzir Hashem Shal Kayam, because it's not going to last too long at all, you know you have to take it off. So maybe that's called Tzir Hashem Shal Kayam. And if you'll diaper the baby with your left hand, you may not do such a good job. If you diaper the baby kalachayad, so it's a double derabanan. So if it's a double derabanan, one could argue that would be a shuz the shuz from Mokum Targo. He mentioned that some achrenim insisted, some of the later achrenim, I think the Shalomeshim, some others insisted that kula of shuz the shuz Mokum Mitzvah applies. One of them is Amir al-Nachri. If you ask a Nachri to do an Isa Derabbanan, but if you yourself do something which is only a Shavuos the Shavuos, the Kula does not apply. And the later Poskim say that it's not correct. That the Rishonim say beferish that the shuas is mutar b'makom mitzvah, etc. Even if neither of them has to be amir unachra. I'm doing something which is only also because of a combination of two derabbanim. So it's also a shuas and shuas is also, but if it would be b'makom mitzvah, it would be mutar. Why don't you say that every shuas and shuas should be a gzeru l'gzeru? So that we discussed it. We discussed it more in Daf Yudalef, Machlokes Zabayra. I think we discussed it before Yom Tov. Yeah.
Even if you
want to say that it is, how are you still getting two tefirot out of this? If you're putting the pin through and the latch is only one, and you're sealing the glue, it's one seal. It's all one thing. So even at that point, it's all, you still only have 50 shear.
Uh-huh.
How do you define
hatoifer
state tefirot? I pull this
thread
in.
A little more, you can kind of.
Now, how do you translate? How do you translate state tefirot? I pull in the thread once from this side to the other side, then I pull it back over here. So there's one stitch, but there are two kifos. I pulled it through once, then I pulled it back. So that's called state kifos. That's called state tefirot, or that's called one tefirot.
You pop it through once. That's only going to be one. You need to loop it around again, or is the loop itself for one? If you're just taking the cloth through the two pieces of cloth, it's nothing. You just kind of have some hanging on the cloth. Maybe you have to have like two loops, two stitches on it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You have to look in Shulchan Aruch exactly what's the definition of the state tefirah also. Whether it means pulling through once and pulling it back out once. That's already called state kifos. That's only one stitch. But you had to pull it through twice. Pull it through once there and here. But that's what the Gemara says, that's not miskayim. So you have to have kesher, at least one kesher, the whole time. But if you pull it through once and you pull it out and you pull it back in again, that's three kifas. I think then you don't need any kshar. If you have two, what we would call two stitches, one stitch on this side, one stitch on the other side, with three times pulling through, so that doesn't even need the kesher. So sometimes when you do diapers, you pull it through twice on both diapers. You'll be fortunate enough to diaper your baby, so you'll see. You pull it through twice on both diapers together. So that's state kifos with one stitch. And it's Nishkai, and it holds. But Medabik Nioris, that's the Minhas Klinach raises the issue. Medabik Nioris Yachad, what's the shear? An inch, 2 inches. If you glue together two pieces of paper, how much has to be glued together? It's a told of teifer. It's a teifer, you have shiurim. Two tkifas, three tkifas, two tkifas, you need a kesher, and three tkifas, you don't need a kesher. So what would you say the shiur is? By holding the paper together. So Minhas Chinuch guesses, it's probably a shiur, that it should hold together. And not the, no minimum size. Shiur is that the two pieces of paper is hold together. What does that mean, hold together? Altogether means if I'll hold one, the other one will not fall down. Or that's the shear for a pashlema. If you have a challah that's sliced in half, 75% of the way down, is that called the whole challah shlema? But it has a big slice in it, but nothing was removed from the challah. Is that called the pashlema or not? So I think Shulchan Aruch says, if you'll hold on to one part, will the other part fall off? Hold on to the big part and some of the small part will not fall off. What if you hold on to the small part, will the big part fall off? So if the big part will fall off, which often will be the case, then it's not called the shleimah. So is that what the Minhas Tidach means here? It doesn't explain. He's not sure. He raised the issue. What's the shear? Within the Rambam of gluing together two pieces of paper.
So with thread and paper.
Probably not.
According to Moshe, who's only fibers that you have, the metal or the safety, but the male ones that look like they are the same material, so they can be. Would that be much more? Because the meat working together is two sides of the tape that's together.
Probably is, yeah. That would be a problem, yeah.
You say
So
when the
These pampers, sometimes the adhesion is very strong. So if you put on the pamper on the baby, then you want to take it off. So often the case will, if it's an expensive pamper that has good adhesion, so then it'll be very hard to remove it without ripping the whole thing. So there's no malach and ripping. The Magen Avraham said in Hilchos Lulav, we discussed it, is not a malach at all. But it is a malach, you do bitzina, the small, whatever, some arizayin, but mikredin, it's not really a malach at all. Yeah, but still, if you close the pamper in such a way that when you're going to want to remove it, it's going to rip it, so that means that it's a very strong adhesion. So then you've glued together two pieces of paper and you've done tefillah. So that's what many amachmir, that if you have a pamper with a very strong adhesion, so you stick your thumb on the adhesion a few times in order to use it up. So if you use it up too much, then the whole pamper is going to fall apart. It's not going to hold. But if you use up the extra special strength that it has, so that when you put on the pamper, it'll hold, but then when it's time to remove the pamper, 2, 3, 4 hours later, whatever, then it'll remove itself very easily. So then one could argue the point and say that perhaps that's not shokayam at all. Along the lines that Rav Moshe said, that he constructed a svara from Rosh Hashitah by Kesher. He said in the opening Mishnah in Eluk Shorim, there was a machlokes, the Rambam and the Rif, and against Rashi. The Ram and the Rif held, in order to constitute Keshem and Atur, Koshem and Atur, you have to have two conditions. It has to be Kesha Ha'umnim, Tzuras HaKesha has to be Kesha Ha'umnim, and it has to be Yishal Kayom. So if you have one without the other, or the second condition without the first, then it's a Nisa Koshem and the Rabbon. If you're missing both conditions, then it's Mutarivim and the Rabbon. Rashi didn't learn like that. Rashi learned there's only one Klal, Kesha Shal Kayama. There aren't two Klalim. So if it's really Shal Kayama, making a kasher, it's going to remain like that indefinitely. That's the raisa. If it's a kasher, it's not going to remain indefinitely. It's going to remain for a week. Then it's a little bit shel kayama. Then it's osim rabbanon. If it's osim lahatira bo, so yom, going to untie within the same day. It's aroi daroi. Then it's mutas. So Rav Moshe took that klal from Rashi, and he assumed that perhaps that klal should apply in all the lamatas of his malachas. Whenever it's shel kayama, so then it's the raisa. If it's a little bit shol kayama, it's aroi, then it's the rabbonim. If it's aroi daroi, it's very aroi, then it should even be mutim in the rabbonim. That was his kula by putting on the powder on the face. So it could be that you got to determine how long is called aroi daroi by pampers.
Okay.
I mean, that's the normal way. That's how long you need it. That could be. If you're going to use our definition of shol kayama and aroi, so you need it as long as it's going to be clean. If the baby's not going to dirty the diaper, so we'll leave on the pamper all day long, fine. If the baby's going to get trained, he's wearing a pamper, so we'll leave the pamper all day long, fine. No problem. So that's a shaila. How do you determine what's called shel kayama? It could be that shel kayama means that to be able to hold it for 4 hours, and then it is shel kayama. Could be. Could well be. Could be deraisa shel kayama. That's a suggestion that we made. Maybe shel kayama depends each case. Like if you cook food, and the cooking was such a trick method that it reverts back. After a couple of days, it reverts back to become raw. Again, if such a thing were possible. So normally people cook food and you put it in the refrigerator, stays for a long time. So that would be called bishul shena shel kayama. But if you do bishul on something, and then you do it in order to use it right away, you don't cook it until you're ready to use it. Then when you cook it, you use it. It's only for 2 minutes. So that's called shel kayama. It lasts as long as it's needed that it should last. So it could be that the tzira by pampers is determined as shel kayama or aroi depending on the normal amount of time that you use the pampers that it's supposed to hold. Is that tzira by velcro? That's a big machlekes. That's a big machlekes. It should be. The pashtus is that it should be. I would assume that it is an issue of fear. You have to determine how aroi is it. Okay. Like the back of the envelope. Let's say you have an envelope that was sealed. and then you want to steam it open in order not to rip anything. So I remember years ago, people thought that every religious home had a kettle of water on the blech, and the water would be evaporating, there would be steam coming up, and if it's not evaporating, so you push the kettle a little more on top of the fire, and the steam starts coming out through the spout of the kettle, and you hold your envelope on top, and then it opens up by itself, because the steam causes it to become loose and open up. So the people thought, that's not a malacha, because I didn't rip it open. Of course it's a malacha. The malacha is not ripping, the malacha is not the issue of ripping. I had two pieces of paper that were glued together, and I separate them. If I do a good job, if I do a nice, neat job, so it's not mekalkel. If I rip it, then maybe you can say it's mekalkel. But if I separated the flap from the envelope with glued together in a very neat job, other rabbis said that's more becoming the malacha. He did the malacha of Korea in a very nice fashion.
The velcro is done like that. They make velcro in order that it's often like the
right. Zipper. To me, said that's a shaila. Maybe there's no malacha involved. The shaila of zipper also. Yeah, the shaila of a zipper. Maybe a zipper is also tzvira. Where Rav Soloveitchik originally learned Masechah Shabbos in the yeshiva many years ago, so he said he was machmir that he used to use trousers that had buttons. He didn't want to use. I remember every year on Purim they used to have a Purim rov. We used to make fun. Purim is always a month after Gimel Shvat. Gimel Shvat is when Rav Soloveitchik had yahrzeit for his father. He used to always get up and give a long drasha. He used to give a long shir, a 2-hour shir on halach and 2-hour shir on agadah. So then on Purim, they used to get a guy get up, and he was the Purim Rav, and he would imitate what Rav Soloveitchik, make fun of what the Rav had said, and the Yortzai Josh make fun of the Rav Shurim and everything. So all of the younger guys, no one understood what was going on without a Pirish Rashi and this whole Purim spiel that they used to get. I remember one year they were joking about this fact, that the Rav insisted that he would wear trousers on Shabbos that only had buttons, because using a zipper is a Shiloh Tzir. It could be that it is a shiloh tefillah. How does anybody use a zipper? So some are mekel because that's not called shel kayama. The zipper is also to be opened a couple of times a day. But let's say you zip in a lining inside a jacket, inside a raincoat, or you zip on covers on top of a couch. So you leave it on a half a year. You leave the covers on, and then that's in the summertime, take them off, whatever. And the lining inside the raincoat, you leave it in for a couple of months. It could be that that would be tzir shel kayama. Could be that the zipper on the trousers is mutter because it's aroi daroi, as opposed to the zipper on the zip-in lining in the raincoat, that's called shel kayama.
Why is what?
Why is what?
Buttons should also be tzir. Why is buttons less than a zipper?
I don't know. Does it? But
one end, the other end would be full. It's the same thing.
Uh-huh. Are they? Is it called a chibur? Let's say I have. There are some coats that have a hood, and the hood sometimes is held together with a zipper. And years ago in Europe, the hood used to be held on by buttons. So let's say the hood is made of linen, and the coat is made of wool. So if you stitch them together, if you do tzira to be mechaber them together, that'll be shatnas deraisa. What if you have buttons? If you have buttons holding it together, I don't think buttons are a chibur. I don't think so.
I think
which? I don't know. I don't know. We have to go through Hilchas Kilayim. That's where the Mishnayos discuss what's called a chibur. If you have two pieces of cloth, when is it considered mechuber yachad? They constitute kilayim. Because the didim over here about shteit kifus and shalosh kifus, everything in the Rambam is based on what it says in Mishnayos and kilayim. You got to take a look. Okay. Okay, the Gemara has the Gemara says on the last daf and makas there are 613 mitzvahs. So the Rambam wrote a sefer on mitzvahs. He lists off what he considers as 613 mitzvahs. The Rambam sefer on mitzvahs is in disagreement with the Baal Halachas Gedolus, another Goyim who wrote listings of the Taryag mitzvahs. And the Rambam didn't have the last say. Others disagreed, but the Rambam, everybody has a different cheshbon. So the Halachas Gedolus counts as one of the 613 mitzvahs. Our Gemara, the Gemara says, Mitzvah ha'odam l'chashiv kufas ha'mazol l'shenemar, u'shmartam ha'sisim ki'ich ha'chmas ha'minasim l'enim ha'min. Shteita mitzvah. Says in the Gemara, it's one of the mitzvahs. So the Rambam laughs at this. Rambam said, that's ridiculous. What do you mean? A mitzvah to know mathematics? A mitzvah to know mathematics and to know physics to be able to predict an eclipse? Why should that be a mitzvah? Rambam thinks that this is an asmachtam of the Rabbonim. He doesn't believe that this is a real din deraisa. What does the Bahag understand in the Gemara? Mitzvah Adlan Machashat Kuvas Mazol said the Ramban comes to defend the Alochas Gedolos. So first he knocks sense into the Bahag and then he thinks, he votes for the Bahag. He thinks the Bahag is right. He says the Rambam counted, you know, the first Rashi on Chumash quotes in the name of the Medrash, the Torah should have really begun from Achodesh Azalachem, which is a mitzvah Rishonish and it's Tavah by Yisroel. The first mitzvah Pirivirivya was given to Adam Arishon, and then Bris Mila wasn't given really to Klal Yisrael, it was given to Avraham Avinu, and then Gidon Asher was given to Yankiv, and the first mitzvah that was given to the whole Jewish nation as a whole was the mitzvah of Achodesh Azalachem. So Rashi quotes, that's the mitzvah Rishonish and Estavo Yisrael. What is that mitzvah? So the Rambam counts that mitzvah, Achodesh Azalachem, that's the mitzvah of Kviyas HaLuach, and it has two parts to it. It has Kiddush Achodesh and Ibur Hashanah. You have to determine whether Rosh Chodesh is on the 30th day or the 31st day, and whether any given year is going to have 12 months or 13 months. Can't have less than 12 months, can't have more than 13 months, and any given month can't have less than 29 days, can't have more than 30 days. Sure. So the Rambam counts these two as two parts of one mitzvah, Kviyas HaLuach, namely, one chelik is Kiddush HaChodesh, the other chelik is Ibur HaShana. And the Ramban thinks that that's what the Bahag feels, that these are two distinct mitzvahs. Achodesh Zalachem is the mitzvah of Rishonu Shenis Tavu Yisrael. That's the Chiddush, the mitzvah of Kiddush Achodesh. And this mitzvah, Ki Yichach Maschem Evinaschem, mitzvah Lachashev Kufus Hamazolus, it doesn't mean a mitzvah to know mathematics and physics and to compete in the international arena with the scientists. No. It means a mitzvah to do Ibur HaShanah. And the Ramban thinks that the Bahag is right, that they should be counted as two distinct mitzvahs. So the Gemara says, if you know a person who has the ability to be mechashiv tkufas umazolas, and he doesn't do it, kol ha'idea lechashiv tkufas umazolas v'ena choshev, so he's doing an avlo. All of our kasvayimis, poil Hashem lo yabitu, ma'isa yodov lo yro. He's doing something improper. He should really get involved in this mitzvah, whatever the mitzvah means. According to the Bahag, the way the Ramban understood it means if he's cut out to participate in Ibur HaShanah, there were a lot of people who used to participate in Kiddush HaChodesh, but they wouldn't participate in Ibur HaShanah. We learned Sanhedrin last year. So the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, they used to have very chosen small group of people who would participate in Ibur HaShanah, because you got to know how to blend in different sciences together. So the Gemara says, whoever is Roy Lekach and he doesn't choose to participate, so that's an avla. That's not really right. Yeah. Mitzvah bezan. And the Gemara says whoever is cut out for it and doesn't join along is doing wrong. There aren't so many people who are qualified. So those who are qualified should run to take care of it. Because if they won't, so less qualified people will take care. So that's not right. And the Rambam learned that this is an asmachtam in the Rabbanon, and it goes on studying secular studies. Goes on just knowing mathematics and physics and so on. And you can't believe that this is a real mitzvah in Atar, it's only an asmachtam. Yeah. What the Gemara talk about, Haloi medov rechot min ha-magush chayev misa. Who is a magush? What is a magush? So the Gemara has a machloike samaroim. Chad ha-mechor roshi, chad ha-megidufi. Whenever the word amgushi appears in the Gemara, so what does it mean? Rashi writes, Dibra maskal amgusha, the aminim b'chol duchto. So it's a machlekes Rabbi Shmuel Pligibo, what does the word mean? Yeah, what do you mean b'chol duchto? Where is the expression amgusha mentioned in the Gemara? So Tosfos quotes in the name of the Yoruch, that the Yoruch said that the machlekes Rabbi Shmuel is had a ripshatin Rapapa. So Tosfos says, Rabbi Shmuel was the first generation of Amoraim, Rapapa wasn't born yet. What do you mean? Rabbi Shmuel are arguing what's pshat in Rapapa? Unless the Aruch understood that the statement of Rapapa was an ancient tradition from earlier generations. Rapapa said it when they were recording, when they were transcribing the Torah Shabbat Fair. So he said, write this in. So he wrote, Om Rapapa Parashahid Mimei Moshan Gushahoya. But he wasn't the one who originated this statement. It was an old tradition that existed, that was transmitted from before the days of Rabbi Shmuel. That's finally what the Yoruch thinks. So the Yoruch says the Machlokes Rabbi Shmuel and the Gemara is how to understand that tradition that they transmitted the Param Dushahoy. And then Taisha thinks like Rashi. Nah, it doesn't go on that memory of Rapapa from Maseches Ma'akot. It goes in general. Whenever the expression Amgush appears in the Talmud, what is it referring to? So one opinion is that it's referring to a min. A min means from the early Christians who were Mesis and Mediach. They still observed Judaism and they blended in a little Avodah Zarah and they tried to get all the Jews to their brand of Judaism with the blend of Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara says if that's the definition of Amgusha, the Minim, the early Christians, so then we understand very well what the Memra was quoted in the name of Rab. They quoted three things in the name of Rab. Amasechut Shal Tfir Adinin Hilchus Melecha Shabbos, and the second thing was Adelechash Tkuvas Malzon Chachash Vosa the Sapre Menu. It's an Avla, it's not right on his part. And the third memory was, you're not allowed to have any conversations with the Magush, even the Reiter. So why are you not allowed to have any conversations at all with the Magush? Who is he? What is he? What does he do? So if the Magush, if the Amgusha is from the early Christians, the Minim, so then we understand. They're out to be Macy's and maybe at the Kalanis, so you shouldn't have any Shaykhis with them at all. They're out to trip you up and you can't trust anything they say. But if you should assume that so the Gemara is trying to establish Machlokes is Rabbi Shmuel, so which way does Rav think? Because Rav is quoted as saying these three members. One of the three members was you're not allowed to have any shaykhs whatsoever with a Magush. So if it goes on the early Christians, then we understand. But if we say that the Magush is a person who's an expert in Kishuv, so there is a prohibition against practicing Kishuv, there is a prohibition against studying Kishuv, but there is a kula within that prohibition. If a person wants to learn Kishuv, not in order to go into that field, Kishuv is also. But if a person wants to learn Kishuv, l'shem shamayim, he feels that it's necessary for him to pass from shailus. Sometimes there are certain practices that are going around and the Rabbanim have to determine, is this Kishuv, is it not Kishuv? There are certain practices going around that Mamash Avodah Zarah, worse than Kishuv. So sometimes Kishuv is Mutav B'Makom Pikuach Nefesh, and if it's Avodah Zarah, it's also even B'Makom Pikuach Nefesh. So the Rabbanim have to have a knowledge of Kishuv, they have to have some basic knowledge of Kishuv, some basic knowledge of Avodah Zarah in order to be able to pass from the Shailas. You have to have a knowledge of physics to pass from all the Shailas and the Shmir Shabbos Kalachasa. In Hilchos Shabbos, you have to have a basic knowledge in economics in order to pass on certain shalas and ribbis about lending money, borrowing money from the bank, lending money to other people. You have to have basic knowledge in chemistry and food chemistry to pass on certain shalas and kashrus. Every area of halacha, you have to have a certain basic knowledge. So just like it's not bittul Torah to learn all the other areas, the physics with the chemistry, so here there's a hefter avalat alamid lahavin alharis. It's permissible to study avodah zarah and kishuv if it's negeh lahalacha. So the Gemara says, so why do they quote such a memory in the name of Rav? It's absolutely prohibited to have any shaykhs whatsoever. It's also to have any magamas at all with the amgushi. So it must be that in this machlek is Rav Shmuel, this time the Rav Hudi Amagidufi. Must be that Rav is the one who holds that amgusha means the Christians, the expression magusha or amgusha means a mesis and mediach, a Christian. So then you're not allowed to have any shaykhs whatsoever. But they're just out to get as many Jews to convert to Christianity as possible. But if Rav would have been the one who used the term Amgusha in the sense of a Bal Kishuv, a Harashe, one of those Kishuvs, how can you say it's forbidden to have any Shaykhs whatsoever? A little bit you're allowed. A Tamachacham, Zik, Lahavin, Lahiris. He's allowed to study the basics of Kishuv. Then the Gemara continues with the Melachas, what was in the Mishkan. So we already had that Tzedo was in the Mishkan, Tzot Chalazim. So there is a Melacha of the Araisa of Tzedo that applies to Chalazim. We saw the last two lines in the Tosfos, Zimamasva, Tzot Chalazim. So Tosfos quotes the Yerushalmi that there's no Tzedo de Araisa by Chalazim. So we explained it's not necessarily a Machlekes, the Bavli and Yerushalmi. But the Yerushalmi is talking about a case where you set up a net. And then it comes in later, so that's only Grumman. Or it could be the Yerushalmi is talking about a case where the chalazin is sitting there in the sand, sitting on the dry land. So it's like a turtle; it's not moving. It's not going anywhere. So that's not seida. Just because I pick it up, that's not seida. And the Babli says that it's seida. Could be the Babli goes when you have to go scuba diving deep under the surface of the water. So of course that's going to be seida. It's not nitzah the yomid if it's not visible on top of the water. But sometimes it will be seida. Sometimes it won't be seida. When you pull out. So when you pull out the halazon, that's tzeda. And then when you squeeze out the tzelus from it, so that's a machlekes hatanaim hapotso. When you catch it, are you chayev? Is there a second malach? If he's doing everything amazing, he gets an einish skila. So it doesn't make a difference. Once he's going to be dead, they're not going to give him twice skila. It's only once to a customer. The shad is did b'shoigig, is going to be chayev chatos, going to be chayev shtei chatos or not. So that's the machlekes abir in the rabban. The Gemara can't come up with an explanation why the Chachamim should say that you're not Chayiv. Why shouldn't they agree with the Rabbi Yehuda that Tzir v'chlal disha? Absolutely makes no sense whatsoever to say ain't Tzir v'chlal disha. So Rabbi says it must be, even though it doesn't sound like it at all, must be the machlekes is whether yesh disha shall not be gedul v'karka, because fish or marine life, the chalazon even is not a fish, the chalazon is not called gedul v'karka. It's not called gedul v'karka. So that's perhaps that's what Rabbi suggests. That's perhaps the machlekes sadanaim where the disha is restricted only to geduli karka, or even to non geduli karka. So Taisus says, what's going on over here? What happened to the netilas neshama? If you catch, a chalazon, and you take it out of the ocean, out of the sea. It's not going to live too long. It's going to come a time that it dies. It only lives when it's in the water. So what happened to the Netilas Nishan? So Taisus has a fantastic suggestion. Taisus Net Taisus Hatzot Chalazim, three lines before the bottom. Ocho, they quote, the Gemara says, L'kamon daf kuv zayin ashola dag min hayam. If you go fishing and you pull out the fish from the sea, kim shavish boy kisela, if the size of a sella, the size of a quarter, on the surface of the fish already gets very dry, so that's an indication that the fish is dead already. You don't have to wait till the whole fish dies. If a certain amount of the surface of the fish already dried out, that means that it's already dead, and if you throw it back into the river, it's not going to survive. So then you chayv mishum tilus mishum. So Taisa says, so what's over here? The guy went scuba diving, he caught himself a halazon, and he takes it up on his dry land, and then he waits till it dies, and then he squeezes out. So the Gemara says he waits till it dies. He doesn't kill it. Gemara asks, when he squeezes out the tailus, isn't he killing it? So the Gemara says, Tokisha puts a mace. It died already. So what do you mean? He went scuba diving, and he catches it, that's tzedo. And then he lets it sit there for a day or two till it drops dead. And after it dies, then the Gemara says he's going to squeeze out the tailus. So when he pulls it out from the water and he leaves it there, he doesn't throw it out. Let that be Netilas Neshama. Well, what happened? If you're going in order, you say, Atzad Chalazon V'Hapotso. What happened in between? The 2 days in between? It puts on eggs. So say, when you go fishing and you take a fish out, you don't throw it back into the river. So you chay mishum Netilas Neshama. So say the same by the Chalazon. So Taisus comes up with an einfall. Hocho Hashem Chalazon Darko Lefarkes V'Lekarev Nisosei. They're guessing. Shema, maybe, they don't know. Fish are like that. If the chalazon is a fish, it's a fish. When they're on the dry land, they start jumping all over the place. Until that's a pirkus. Pirkus is before an animal dies. So it's jumping all over the place. The thesis suggests that maybe the chalazon is a fish. If the chalazon is a shelled a worm that's in a shell, so it probably doesn't jump around. I don't think it jumps around. The thesis apparently is assuming chalazon is a fish. So they came up with a suggestion. If it jumps around and it's nikar b'tzom misa, then you're not chai mishum netilas nisham. Where'd they get this einfall from? That if an animal is mefarches, nikar misasa, then you're not chai mishum netilas nisham. Well, Tosis quotes a Gemara Kuv Zayin, Kimish Yavish Bo Kisela. If you're fishing, if you take the fish out of the water, so if it's still alive, you throw it back into the river, it'll survive. So that's not yet chayv mishum tilus nisham. But if he kept it out of the water so long, yavish bo kisela, a certain amount on the surface of the fish dried out, so then it's already gishtar. There is a machlekes in Mishnayis, the Gemara Chulin quotes it, is the fish mekabel tuma. Live animals are not mekabel tuma. So let's say I have a ben pekua. Why is a live animal not mekabel tuma? Because you're not allowed to eat it. Jews, non-Jews, it's Eid Menachai, no one's allowed to eat it. But what if I have an animal that I'm allowed to walk over and bite into the animal like this? A ben pekua. I shechted the mother, and after the shechit of the mother, then the uber was no lot. So in the Torah, you don't need any shechit on the ben pekua. So would you say the ben pekua is already roi lachila the way it is right now? So it's mekabel tuma now. So that's a machlekes hatanai. The same machlekes by fish. The Gemara says by fish there's no requirement for shechita. Basifo, it says in kol d'geayam yosef lahem umotza lahem. So the Gemara learns that from that pasuk in kol d'geayam yosef lahem that dog in misagi basifo. You just catch the fish and it's already muta. So it's a kasher fish and it's still alive. It's not yet yavish bo kisela. It's still alive. So the halacha says there's no eid menachai. I can bite into the fish now. So I can eat the fish the way it is. So it's mekabel tuma now, but it's still alive. What's the halacha? Live animals are not mekabel tuma because it's osur to eat it. That's why it doesn't have a shame oichel. But if it would be mutter to eat it, for example, a ben pekua, a fish that you can eat while it's alive, then it is mekabel tuma. What do you say? No, it's halacha that live animals are not mekabel tuma. Period. Even if it's mutter to eat it. So the Gemara Chulin quotes in Perek Bei Mount Kasher, that's a machlekes hatanan. Think we pass from that it's not mekabel tuma. The live fish are not mekabel tuma. The ben pekua is not mekabel tuma. This is din. The live animals are not mekabel tuma. So where do Tosfos get this expression from? Darka lefarkas alekarav misasa. Now this is a Gemara in Gittin. This is a Gemara in Gittin. The Gemara makes a statement that if I accidentally killed someone, I shot someone to death, by accident, so it says, Mechumash, you have to run away to the Yorei Mikvah. So the Gemara says, that's only if I killed the guy on the spot. What happens if I shot him and then it takes a while till he dies? He's mefarches, he jumps around. So the Gemara says, since there's a possibility that because of his own pirkus, he is mekarb his own nisa, so we learn out from a pasuk that I'm not chayv golus. If I kill the meshegeg, I'm not chayv golus. And Tosfos says on that Gemara, the Rambam also seems to hold like that halacha is only benegiah to golus. The Gemara never said it benegiah to misa. If I kill the person b'mezid b'miskaven and I'm chayv misa for killing him, so then you chayv misa even if he doesn't die immediately, even if he's mefarches. So the whole pirkus is a reaction. It's an instinctive reaction from the fact that I shot him. So everything is due to my shooting him. The Gemara only goes if I killed him b'shogeg. So if one killed b'shogeg, he goes to Ori Miklot. What if the horug was mefarches? So the Gemara says if mefarches chayshin Hashem yikir of nisa satsmoy, so then you don't have to go to Golos. The Tosfos says on that Gemara, Tosfos says in Makkos, and Tosfos says there in Gittin, and Perek Misha Ochzoi, and the Rambam also writes like that. It's only a special din of Golos. It doesn't apply to killing mimezid. The Rambam quotes all the dinim in Hilchos Retzeach. So someone said, there's a famous letter that the Rambam answered. Someone asked the Rambam, where did he get that from? So the Rambam didn't remember himself. So, because the Rambam never gives the Marmakaimus. So the Rambam writes back in response, he says, I thought for sure it's in Makkos. I thought for sure I must have gotten it from Elohein HaGolan. So he looked in Perik Elohein HaGolan, it's not there. Then he figured second best must be in the end of Sanhedrin. There are a few dafim in the end of Sanhedrin about Retzeach. He kept on looking there, wasn't there, and he said he couldn't remember himself. Where did he get this whole thing from? So he thought and he thought, then he reminded himself that it's in Gittin, Perek Mishav, so Kerdaikas, because in the Gemara, dinim are not necessarily where they're supposed to be. The dinim are scattered all over the place, and the Rambam put everything in order. So the Rambam says, he writes in his letter, in the famous letter, he says, and now he has charata why he didn't give the marmakamis. He says he himself didn't remember what the marmakam was. That this din that Tosfos is alluding to, he should have put it in parentheses where the mokar is, that melitza. Darka lefarkas and the karmisos as an expression in the Gemara, benegeh to golus, that you're not chayv golus unless the horuk dies on the spot. But if it takes him a while till he dies, chashin Hashem pirkes, the kirev is misosa. So Tosfos, here, Tosis here is applying it to Shochet B'Shabbos. So Tosis seems to be assuming here it's not a local din in Hilchas Golus. Not only a din in Hilchas Golus. Tosis there says it's only a din in Golus, doesn't apply to Harig B'Mezid. But Tosis over here seems to be assuming that it's part of the definition of Ritzicha in general, Shchita, Harigin, whether you're killing animals or people or fish. It's only called killing if the Horeg doesn't participate in his own demise. But if I start, I shot him, and then as an instinctive reaction, he's mefarches, he's mekarv nisus atzmi, even though it's involuntary on his part. He's not interested in hastening his own death. That's a reaction to the fact that I shot him. It's an instinctive reaction still. Taisa says, by definition, you can't call me the Ratzeach. You can't call me the Horeg. So you can't call me the Shechei. That's what Taisa suggests. That if you go fishing, you take out a fish and you hold it out of the water so long till it dies. So that's a Gemara later, Daf Kuv Zayin, that Yechaim Shum Tilus Neshama. But if you take out a fish and it's Mefarches, you let it jump around all over the place, then there's a concern, Shemek, Tirkis, Vikirvis, Nisosoi. So then you're not Mechaib Mishum Natilus Nishom. Chiddush, very big Chiddush. So that was Tosis Kasha. Tosis is just taking it out from the river and keeping it out so long till it dies a natural death. Let that itself be Natilus Nishom. So Tosis came up with this answer. Kashin Hashem Pirkis Vikiris Misas. The Gemara asks a different Kasha. The Gemara asks, if you're squeezing out Pitsiya, to find there's a Machleg Zabunan the Rabbanon, whether Pitsiya Bechlal Disha or not, and Rav interprets that it doesn't really mean what it says, Pitsiya Bechlal Disha. Of course it's a form of Disha. It's Machleg is whether Disha has to be Dafke Bigedule Karka, or even Shaloi Bigedule Karka. So the Gemara asks, but still, when he's squeezing out the Tchelos from the Chalazon, isn't he killing the animal? So the Gemara says, one answer the Gemara gives, she puts a mace. He took the halazan out from the sea and he waited a couple of days till it died a natural death. And after it died, then he's squeezing out the tzelos. So that's what Taisa says. No, if he took it out and he let it die, so let the taking out and letting it die, let that be the netilus neshama. So that's what Taisa's answer. Hashim neshama pirkus vikirvis nisos. And Rava gives a different answer. Rava says, and I think they assume like Rava today, they assume that scientifically that Rava's answer is correct against Rabbi Yochanan. That's not the way you make chelas. You don't take a halazon and let it die a natural death, and then when you get around to it, then you squeeze out the chelas from the halazon. It's going to be inferior quality chelas. If you want to have better, clearer chelas, if you want to have keecha de leitzel tzivi, if you want to have a clearer color of chelas, so you have to take, you have to squeeze out the chelas, you have to squeeze out the chelas from the halazon before it gets stale. I don't know if it has to be alive. I don't know if it has to be alive, but they hold it in a container of water until they're ready to take out the tzelos. So that's what Rava says. I feel the time you should put a chai. Nesas a great son until it's neshama. Why? Because kamad is ben neshama tvei nichalei. When you squeeze out the tzelos while the chalazon is still alive, so the tchelos color is going to be clearer. So Tosfos doesn't understand what's going on over here. The big Tosfos keecha de leitzel tzivei. There is a Mishnah in the beginning of Shmoneh Shvatzim where the Mishnah says there are different kinds of animals. There are animals that have a thick skin and animals that have a thin skin. So it says in the Mishnah, Hakoyvo behem chayiv. The Shmoneh Shvatzim Hamurim Matara have a thick skin. So Hakoyvo behem chayiv. If they make a black and blue mark on them, you're ready chayiv. Shashkatzim Ramasim, which have a thinner skin. So Hakoyvo behem is pot. If they make a black and blue mark, you're not chayiv. Unless the Gemara says in Chulin, Tosfos quotes it on that daf. Gemara says in Chulin, Unless you cut, not that you made a black and blue mark on those animals that don't have a thick skin, you're not chayv. But if you cut the animal and blood came out, then you will be chayv. That's what the Gemara says in Chulin. Even if you have shashkatzim and masim that don't have a thick skin, they have a thin skin, the black and blue mark is not chayiv on them, but if you cause the yitzias adam, cause the real chabur, then you will be chayiv. So what's the malacha involved over here? What is the malacha of chovil? Chovil is not listed on dafayin gimel among the lam tesavis malachas. So in that mishnah there are three biurim in the rishonim. So Rashi has two pshatim. Taisa Sanadav quotes that Rashi on Kuv Zayin and Manalath himself has two pshatim. One pshat in Rashi is that it's toveya, that if you make a black and blue mark, so you cause the changing of the color. So that's a malacha of toveya. That's the Lishnachrina in Rashi on Daf Kuv Zayin and Manalath. And the first pshat Rashi wrote from his quotes from his Rebbe, who was a Levi, that's why he writes Leviya. So he says the malacha is a told to the Sheikhet. They make a black and blue mark, it's a told of Shochet. How exactly is it Shochet? Shochet is when you kill the organism. When the whole Netilus Neshama is Shochet. How is this Shochet? So Taisvis uses a Melitza, Taisvis Bayas, and another place he uses a Melitza. Mali Kotla Kula, Mali Kotla Palga. What's the difference whether he killed the whole organism or he killed part of the organism? What do you mean, what's the difference? The big difference. Big difference. You know, the doctor treats a patient, so sometimes a dentist causes a little bleeding. So you got to put the dentist in jail because he murdered the patient. Malikot l'kul, malikot l'palka. He cut my gums and he made me bleed a little bit. That's ridiculous. There is no such klal. No. So Tesis is quoting Agamara. This is Agamara in Nidor. Rashi later in Masecha Shabbos quotes the Gemara. Yeah, the Rashi, take a look at the top of Kuf Mem Dalet Amud Aleph, the top Rashi. The Gemara says on the bottom line on Kuf Mem Gimel Amud Beis, the Dam Magofasa Shel Isha. The Gemara is talking about a woman, a person, a human being, man or woman, doesn't make a difference. Dam Magofasa, the Gemara talks about Cholav Isha, then the Gemara talks about Dam Isha. So dam magofasa, if a woman bruises herself, she's injured, and she's bleeding. A person trips and they start bleeding, a man or a woman. So the dam magofa is considered one of the zayin mashkim, it's makshal lekabel tumah. How do you know that dam magofa is makshal lekabel tumah? Because there's a pasuk that says that's the top Rashi, on kuf mem dalet amud aleph, who's commenting that top Rashi is shaykh l'omad akoyim. It belongs on the previous summer. There was no room, so the printer put it on the top of Kuf Mem Dalet Amud Aleph. So he quotes, there is a pasuk in the Ruaz Bilam, where Bilam Arashi says, V'dam chalolem yishteh. He predicts about the Jewish people, they're going to be successful in battle, victorious, winning Eretz Yisrael. They're going to conquer Eretz Yisrael. V'dam chalolem yishteh, they're going to drink the blood of their enemy. Not to be taken literally, that's what the Christians made the whole Alilas Adam, that the Jews drink Christian blood. Because maybe that's what it says in the King James translation in the Bible. Dam chalal nisht, I'm going to drink the Christian blood. But what it means is we're going to be victorious in battle. So why does Bilam Arasha use such a lashon and dam chalal and yishteh? To teach us a halacha that is considered a mashke. The zayin mashke mamachshel lekabel tumah din is a ochlim, apples and oranges and fish and food. There's only mekabel tumah once it's huchshar, has to be rinsed off with one of the zayin mashkim. So one of the Zayin Mashkim is Dam Ha'odom. As the Pasuk says, the Dam Chalolim, Yishteh. Yishteh means that it's a Mashkeh. Yeah, but Dam Chalolim goes on Dam Shanashama Yotzebo. Dam Chalolim means you're going to have a sword and cut someone's head off, or you're going to kill him, you're going to stab him, and he's going to bleed to death. So the Dam Shanashama Yotzebo, that's considered a Mashkeh, that's Mashkeh LeKabel Tumah. Maybe only Dam Horub. Dam harikari mashke, shenem dam chalal mishta. How do you know dam agafosoi? How do you know if someone is bruised, someone has an injury, and he bleeds a little bit? So how do you know you punch someone in the nose and he starts bleeding? How do you know that the blood that comes from the nosebleed is also machshel lekabel tumah? So the Rashi quotes in the Gemara Nida Dafnan Hay, because the Gemara says mali kotla kula, mali kotla palga. That's the loshen Gemara. When you get to this din, it's not a din in Kol HaTarikul, it means when you get to this din, that Dam Chalolim, Dam Shanashama Yotzebo, has the status of Mashkeh, it's one of the Zayin Mashkin, so even Dam Magofo is also considered a Mashkeh. So Tesis borrows this statement in the Gemara Nida Daf Nun Hei and applies it to this Mishnah Kuv Zayin Amud Aleph. that it says in the Mishnah that there's an iser of chovel by animals. If the animal has a thick skin, when you make a black and blue mark on the animal, it's already a malacha. If the animal doesn't have a thick skin, the black and blue mark on the animal does not constitute a malacha of chovel. But the Gemara Chulin adds on, but if he causes the blood to be yotzei lechutz laguf, then it is called a malacha. What is the malacha? So Rashi, second shot is that it's tzaveh. No, tzaveh is nicha. If it's a black and blue mark, I understand tzaveh. But if it's not a black and blue mark, if it's, the Gemara says in Chulin, if you cut, make an incision in the animal and it bleeds and blood goes out, then you chai. Where's the tzvi if the blood goes out? How is that tzaveh? So that's a difficulty with Rashi's second shot. So that's why Tosfos adopts the first shot. The Rambam has a third shot. The Rambam said that the malacha is disha. Just like if you squeeze out the grapes, you squeeze out Jaisman of him, so that's a disha. So this is also disha. That's why the Rambam requires a shear of, I think he requires a shear of grogeris. You have to take out so much dam that it should be a shear of grogeris because it's a like a told it a disha, something like that. Rambam is very strange shear. But the Tosfos prefers the first pshat in Rashi. Tosfos on our daf, on Ayin Ha'am and Aleph, writes that they like that pshat that Rashi gives, Bereish Perek Shemayna Shuatz and Daf Kuv Zayin, by us that's the first pshat in Rashi. The second pshat in Rashi is Tzoveya. And Tosfos says they like the Loshan Acher in Rashi, that other pshat in Rashi, not the Tzoveya pshat, which by us is the second, they like the first pshat in Rashi, that it's an issue of Shochei. So what has it got to do with Matilas Nisham? Matilas Nisham is when you kill an animal. It's dead. Here, I cause an animal to bleed. Why is that Matilas Nisham? So Tosfos comes up with this klal, Malikot L'Kula, Malikot L'Palga. Where did it come from? What does it mean? So they have to add on a little bit. So they quote the Pasuk in Chumash that says, Ki Adam Hu HaNefesh, that the blood circulation is what keeps animals alive. It's interesting. That's what it says in Chumash. That's what it says in Chumash. In medicine, this wasn't discovered until a few centuries ago. It wasn't known in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. It wasn't known in the days of the Gemara. But the Gemara has been based on that assumption that there is such an institution as blood circulation. The blood circulates in the whole body. And the blood that circulates is what keeps the animals alive. And because it keeps the animal alive, that's why if you cause an animal to bleed, that's considered Netilas Neshama. Because Ki Adam Hu HaNefesh, Malikot L'Kula, Malikot L'Palga. We have halachas from the days of Matan Torah that are based on the assumption that there's such a concept as blood circulation, and that Ki Adam Hu HaNefesh. So Tosfos explains, if you animal, they explain the Mishnah and Kuv Zayin, if you have an animal that has a thick skin, and you bruise the injure the animal and you cause a black and blue mark on the animal, so that means that there's dead blood over there that's not going to go recirculate, it's not going to recycle in the circulatory system. So that's malikot l'kula, malikot l'palga, and that blood that's caught in between the skin and the circulatory system, because it's not going to recycle again. So that's choyvel. But what if it's an animal that has a thick skin and you bruise the animal that has a black and blue mark? You can't say that the blood is caught in between and it's not going to recycle again. There's nothing. There's no place that it can get caught. The skin is not thick enough to catch the blood. So it must be that that blood that's a little bit caught temporarily now will recirculate in the circulatory system. So you didn't, when you see a little black and blue mark on an animal that has a thick skin, so then we assume that there's no kotla palga. That you didn't cause any dead blood. It's going to soon be recycling in another 20 minutes. In another hour or two, that blood is going to recycle itself, and therefore there is no kotla palga. Unless you cut the animal and the dam came out, then the Gemara said in Chulin. The Gemara Chulin added on to the Rashi. Rashi learns that it's Tzoveyas, it's a Pelaha. What's he going to do with the Gemara Chulin? So the Pashtus of the Gemara Chulin is like Tosfos said, that the Yisr is Netilas Neshama. And if the animal doesn't have a thick skin, so there's no such thing as a black and blue mark. So the little black and blue mark means that temporarily the blood was separated from the circulatory system and is going to return back again. That's how the Tosfos reads the Gemara. So the Mela Tosfos is bothered with Akasha if causing bleeding of the animal, if the circulatory system means that this blood circulating is the definition of life in the animal. And when the blood circulation stops, or if you take out some of the blood, How do you determine that a person is dead? The big machlekes in our generation. How do you determine when a patient is dead? That you say you unhook him from all of the life support systems in the midst of the kavatik brana bayomu. How do you determine? So some rabbanim, there's a minority opinion among the rabbanim, still a minority opinion, to say that it's determined by the brain stem. And the brain stem is dead, and the brain stem controls all of the activities of the body, then the person is considered dead. So most do not accept. The overwhelming majority of the rabbanim in the world who are entitled to opinions do not accept that opinion of the brain stem. There's no mocker at all. The Mishnah says in Aholis, when they have a person, hutas rosho, a person or an animal, and you chopped off his head, he's dead, even though he's walking around, after he chopped off the head. So it's a mashal amadavadayma, like if you take a fish, and you chop the fish in half, and the tail of the fish is going to be jumping all over. Like zonapalto, like if you chop a lizard, so the tail of the lizard is going to be jumping around. That's just a reflex reaction, and it doesn't mean that the lizard is still alive. So the same over here, if you chop off an animal's head, a person's head, and the body still is walking around, he's still considered dead. Why is he considered dead? Because he chopped off the head. So Mahepatesis, and some Rabbanim say because of this whole fantastic story with the brainstem. He doesn't say any more anything about the brainstem. The Pashup Shat is that what you have is a circulatory system. Let's say you have a pipe system that takes water from the water tower on the rooftop to throughout the whole building. And if you're going to break, let's say, 100 stories, probably wouldn't work. Let's say you have a building that has 100 stories, and you have the water tower on the rooftop, and that in order that the whole system should function, you have to have pipes all over the place. So some crackpot comes and he takes out one pipe in the middle. So he killed the whole system. He killed the whole circulatory system of the water. So that's what the Mishnah says. If hutas rosho, so the whole circulatory system of the balkai is gestorben. The whole thing is geplatz. So even though the person is still walking around a little bit, but he's considered dead because he no longer has ki adam hu anefesh. The Chumash says the definition. Rabbi Tesis says, based on the Chumash, the Halacha says that the definition of life is blood circulation. So the Mele, the Kviyas Rega Amavis says when there's no blood circulation. That's what Hagan Rabbi Moshe Feinstein writes. Rabbi Moshe has someone asked Rabbi Moshe Shaila, can you be Yotzei Tzilin if you put it on the left arm if the left arm is paralyzed? So he says yes, absolutely yes. How does he know? Because he writes, my father had a stroke a couple of months before he died, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein's father, and his left side was paralyzed, and he still continued to put tefillin on his left side. So it's a right that my father did it. So it's a right that's the din. But he says, what if it wouldn't just be paralyzed? Paralyzed means that the nervous system isn't functioning, but the blood is still circulating. What happens if it would be gangrenous? The whole arm would, the gangrene would set in. Gangrene means that the blood is not circulating anymore. And once an organ is not, the blood is not circulating, so the organ, as it's, even though it's attached to the body, will already begin to decay at the same rate of decay that it would decay when it would be buried in the ground. If the whole organism is dead, different organs decay at a different rate of decay. So the arm, if the arm is gangrenous, even though it's still attached to the body, it's already going to start to decay. So Ramosha says, but to put on tefillin on an arm that's gangrenous, that you're not yotzei. So why? Because the definition of that's a dead arm. If you have an arm that has blood circulating, if you cut it, the blood is going to start flowing. It means the blood is circulating. The only thing is that the nervous system isn't functioning. So that's a living arm. But if the arm doesn't have blood circulating, that's a dead arm. And how does Ramosha know that that's true? So he dug up a Gemara in the middle of Chorus, the part of Chorus that no one ever learned. Only the Daf Yomi people learn it. The Gemara discusses there what's the definition of a mum by a kohen. That a kohen by mum is not allowed to be maker of carbonus in the Beis Hamikdash. And what's the definition of a mum by a behemoth? That a carbon that has a mum may not be offered on the mizbeach. So the Gemara talks about different mumim. So the Gemara says, the Gemara says if there's a cessation. If there's a cessation of the flow of blood to one organ in the body in an irreversible fashion, that organ is considered dead. So they're considered mechuser eivor. You have a behemoth that has a whole bunch of eivorim, and one eivor is considered dead. What does it help that the eivor is there? But the eivor is dead, so that has the same status as mechuser eivor. Mechuser eivor passes even ba'oif. Even though ba'oif is no din of balmum, the Gemara says by behemoth, it has to be behemoth tmima, shouldn't have a mum, and sometimes it has to be a zohar. And sometimes it has to be in a keva. Like a chatas has to be in a keva. Normal chatas has to be in a keva. Kabinoil has to be a zocher. Shlomin can be a zocher or in a keva. So the Gemara says these requirements that a chatas has to be dafka in a keva, and it all has to be dafka zochet, this is only by behemoth. But by ofos, tamas v'zachris, the behemoth, they tamas v'zachris ba'ofos. An oaf, you can have an oilless oaf, you can bring an akeva. You can have a chatas oif and bring a zochar. The Gemara doesn't mean to say that there's no difference between male and female by birds. The Tanoim knew that there are male birds and there are female birds. There is a difference between male and female birds. The din of shiloh hakana only applies to the mother. A lot of times people don't know. They think they're fulfilling shiloh hakana. They're sending away the father. Half of the time the father sits on the eggs, and half the time the mother sits on the eggs. So the Gemara says, Yiron liyotze the mitzvah, if the mother's sitting on the eggs, shalech to shalach ha-sayim. If the father's sitting on the eggs, then you're not yotze. You got to know, lahatzim meim zochel and akev. You got to know which bird is a male, which bird is a female. So the Gemara knows that there are male and female birds. There's a mother and a father. But the halacha that a chatas has to be dafke and a keva, no, it has to be dafke zacha, that's only by behemoths. By yoifas, that din doesn't apply. And there's no din of balmun either by yoifas. An oif that's a balmun may be offered as a carbon on the mizbeach. But if it's muhusareba, then it's no good. So if muhusareba is no good by an oif, it's certainly no good by behemoth. By behemoth, even a balmun is no good. So the Gemara says, what's an example of a muhusareba? Not only if it's missing a toe and missing an organ, even if all the organs are there, but the blood is not circulating to that organ in an irreversible fashion. Sometimes, let's say you put on a tourniquet on your arm, someone's bleeding and you put on a tourniquet, absolutely there's no, you want to prevent them from losing so much blood, so you prevent the flow of blood, but that's reversible. You're not going to leave the tourniquet so long that the whole thing is going to die. You're going to have it for a couple of minutes until the doctors come, until someone comes, until Hatzala comes, until they take care of the guy. But the Rav Moshe quotes the Gemara, if you have an irreversible cessation of the flow of blood, he quotes that the Gemara Mechora says that that's a definition of a dead organ. So Rav Moshe says, who Adinami, if the guy's putting on tefillin on his left arm, he says, if the arm is paralyzed, so what? But it's still alive because the blood is still circulating. Ki adam hu anefesh. If the blood is not circulating and it's gangrenous, so then it's dead. The Gemara says, then it's called mechusarevi. Then it's dead. Then you can't be yotze in the midst of tefillin. So that's why Rova of the Rabbanim feel that the definition, the determination of the moment of death is when the blood system, when the blood circulation is no more functioning. And that's the Pashup Shat in the Mishnah, that the Hutaz Rosho of an animal or of a person, so even if the animal is still jumping around, or the person is still jumping around, the person is considered dead because the whole circulatory system, plots, the whole thing fell apart. So that's what this thesis is saying. A lot of Gemaras that are based on this assumption, that ki adam hu anefesh, that the circulatory system is what keeps the animals alive. So Tosfos claims malikot l'kula malikot l'pag. That's, they're taking that Gemara from Nida daf nun hey. The Gemara says it also. I'm going to get to dam having a shame mashke dam chalolim yishte. So Tosfos applies it over here. That if you cause a black and blue mark, or if you cause bleeding. If he caused a little bleeding, so then you say ki adam hu anefesh, and that's netilas neshama. He just killed that drop of blood. That's called netilas neshama. In fact, there is a din. Allah Almighty. The bottom line, we paskin whenever the bris was done improperly. Let's say the bris meal on the baby boy was done by a nochri surgeon, or it was done kaidim shmeina yamin. You're not supposed to do the bris before the eighth day. So let's say nimol tachshmona. So we pass on Allah Almighty said whenever the bris was done improperly, or a baby is born noilad mohol, there is no or harlo. There is no or harlo. So we pass on in all these cases, the different opinions and tanoim and rishonim. We pass on Allah Almighty in all the cases. You do what we call hatafas dam bris. You cause a little bit. You just cut a little bit, and you cause a little bleeding. So the Chazon Ish says that it's not necessary even to cause haptofas dambris, to cause a little bleeding. If you just make a seret dak, if you take a needle, a pin, and you just make a tiny scratch, and that tiny scratch is going to make a red line that's going to be nitzrar hadam, even if no dam comes out. So on Shabbos, if you make nitzrar hadam, yechayim, that's called a tilis neshama. So he says that's called haptofas dambris. There's no need for the dam, he's mechayim, there's no need for the dam to come out of the body to be called haptofas dambris. The din requires, there has to be dam bris that should be removed from the circulatory system. So if you make nitzra dam, that dam is dead blood now. It's removed from the circulatory system. So you say with that. It's a kula. And the other in the Chazon Ish made a chumra. He threw in a chumra. on the Hatofes Damri story, which most of the Moelim do not follow the Chumrah of the Chazanish. The Kula of the Chazanish, a lot of them do follow the Chumrah, they don't follow. The question is, where are you supposed to do Hatofes Damri? You take the baby's finger, take the nose? No, you're supposed to do Hatofes Damri on the Eiver Ha'orlo. Where on the Eiver Ha'orlo? So usually people say, well, look, if I would have cut off the Or Ha'orlo, where would the bleeding be coming from? From the skin that's left behind. So that's why they do the Hatovas Dambris, where the Or Ha'orlo was supposed to be, where the Or Ha'orlo was originally attached, and the Goyish surgeon did the circumcision, or they did the circumcision touch minor. So that's why they do the Hatovas Dambris. They take out a little dump from that place where it used to be attached. So the Chazanish says that's ridiculous. That's like taking out dam from the toe. That's the wrong mocking. He says you have to take out Hatovas Dambris from the tip of the Eiver Ha'orlo, the part that usually doesn't bleed at all. He says if you take out from the place where it would have been bleeding if you would have done a bris milah, he says that that's the wrong mocker. That's what he claims. That's the wrong mocker. And he brings as a mocker, he quotes in Or Zaruah, the Gemara tells a story later on Asecha Shabbos that there was a baby that needed a tofes dambris, and the Boilam didn't know how to do it, so they took the baby to one mile, to another mile, to another mile, until he finally didn't know how to do Hatofes Dambris, and they made the baby into a Krushovka. They said, why did they make the baby into a Krushovka? What's so difficult? So the answer is, he says, quotes in Ozura, the answer is because you have to take out dam from the Eiver Ha'orlo itself, not from the place where the Or usually comes out from. That's quite a humor. That's quite a humor. That you can really harm the baby. So that the Gemara tells the story that they made the baby into a Krushovka. Again, what do you say that what?
That stops the problem right there
the word atorah is used by poskim meaning two different things. Some poskim use atorah in the sense the chutamakif, the section where the tip of the aver ends. Another poskim say the whole tip of the aver is called the atorah. The different atorah is a crown. There are different kinds of crowns. But sometimes people wear a crown that goes around in a circle, and sometimes people wear a crown that goes like this. So the poskim have two pshatim. The din is that when you do a bris milah, you have to cut off. This is also Masechta Shabbos. Teret Rav Lezer in the milah. So if you cut off the bosa achayfes roifa Torah, you have to have ruba kekulo. So then you use it. So the eva ha'orlo usually looks like this, and then there's a little indentation, something like that. And then it goes like this. So many poskim hold this whole tip is called the atorah. So bosa achayfes roifa Torah means you have to, and this is usually covered over with skin. You have to cut off so much skin on the outside that the Roiv HaTorah should be Megula. Even if the Riyot HaTorah is Megula, a little bit of skin remains over here. But since the Roiv of the HaTorah is Megula, so that's called Bris Milah. And Mara says that Zekele Vyandei, you should do Hidah Mitzvah, you should cut off the Basa HaKaifah's Kalo HaTorah. Until you remove all the skin. You don't do a poor job just to rely on Ruba Kukula. And then Mesiyas, it quotes the Tshuva Ashkenazis, he says, now this is called the atorah. So you have to remove all of the skin that's over here, plus Vasachetah's Rov HaTorah, that the Rov, this little thing over here is called the atorah. The Chut HaMakif, that's what they call it. The Chut HaMakif is the atorah. You have to remove so much skin that the atorah, round and around, is Megula.
That's exactly where the Orif is.
Okay.
It's right there.
Okay, so the Chazanish, so the Minig Olam is, most of the Olam when they do a Hatofes Dambris, they cut over here, where the Or, the skin would have come out from, either where the skin did come out from. If there was a Mila that was done improperly, Balaglo, Atok Shmona, Ayde Nachri, or if the baby was Narlad Mohu, he didn't have any Or Horl at all, so they cut over here where there would have been skin coming out. And the Chazanish said that you're not Yosef, that's like cutting from the toe. He says, no, it has to be somewhere over here. You have to cut the Eiver itself, that's what. You have to cause some dam from the Eiver itself. So that most of the Moelim do not do.
I was told that the Rabbi was supposed to do it on the Spokaniyah,
Some violin will know what they're doing, so they do a seret dak. They just make a little bread scrap. They make a little scrap that leaves this radam over here and over here. A tiny bit on the basar of the aver itself. A tiny scratch there and a tiny scratch over here. But you have to know what you're doing. You have to know. So that's what the Chazon Ish claims. So the Gemara says later, they didn't know how to do Atavas Damriz, and they made the baby into a kushavcha. If they're cutting where the ore was coming out, how can they make it into a kushavcha? Must be that they're cutting from the Besar HaEver itself. Believe that, that's a chumra from the Chazon Ish. Not everybody follows the chumra. Kula from the Chazon Ish, that's unusual. So that's everybody follows. So the Chazon Ish says, based on this thesis, based on this, all these Gemaras, he said, for Atavas Damriz purposes, you don't have to be Moitzi Dam. You don't need that actually Dam should come out from the body of the baby. If he calls Nitzra Dam, that would be good enough. So here, this is the Kasha, Kasha Liri, and the Tesh is Keecha Deleitzel Sive. The Gemara said over here, you have a Braise, where do they have Tzedah in the Mishkan? So there used to be Tzadah Chalodim. And where do you have Shoen Tzad Chalodim? And then it says, Bahapotso, when you squeeze out the Tzeles, so that's a Machleg Zabir and the Rabbanon, but it's Psia Bechlal Disha. Why in the world should anybody in his right mind say Psia is not Bechlal Disha? It doesn't make any sense. The Rav reinterprets it. No! Everybody's asking Psia Bechlal Disha. Machleg is a different thing, even though it doesn't sound like that at all. Machleg is whether Yesh Disha Shaloi Begidul Karka. Because marine life is not called Gidul Karka. Fine. So Taisus says that. So the Gemara asks. When you take the animal out from the river and you leave it on a dry land for a couple of days, so it's going to die. So let that itself be until it's neshama. You killed it. Like the Gemara says, you go fishing, you take the fish out, and you leave it out so long. So here also, the first suggestion, the Gemara puts on maize, he took the chalazin out from the Mediterranean. He lets it sit there for a couple of days, and then he starts squeezing it out. When he lets it sit there, isn't that until it's neshama? The Tesha came up with the answer, Mefarches Bikirves Misos Achidish. But then the Gemara said the second answer, not like Rabbi Yochanan, and scientifically that's the way they do it now. They don't have Chalazainas sitting on the dry land and then a week later they start squeezing out the Tchelis. The Tchelis will be clearer if you keep the Chalazon in water. So that's what they do, they keep it in water. And then they squeeze out the Tchelis from the Chalazon while it's still alive. So Taisus says the Kasha, they squeezing out the blood from the fish while it's still alive. That's Mamish Natilus Neshama. Isn't that exactly the Pshat that they accepted from the three Pshat and what's the Malach and Chayvil? Rashi has one Pshat that is Tzoveya. And then he quotes the Pshat from his Rabbi Leviya, his Rabbi Alevi, that is Natilus Neshama. And then Ramam learns that it's Disha. So the Yerushalmi in Perek Lagol, the seventh Perek, says, like the middle pshat, says like the Rashi's pshat b'shem his Rebbe, Halevi, that it's Natilus Neshama, like the Rabbein Tam and the Reed, the Bali Atez, that's the pshat that they adopted, that's what it says in the Yerushalmi, that it's Natilus Neshama, but the whole story, Malikot L'Kul, Malikot L'Pal, that's the Tesh, it's Frek HaKashe, if you're squeezing out the blood, b'mezid b'mskam, this is Mamish Natilus Neshama, you're squeezing out the blood of the animal, shouldn't that be Natilus Neshama? It's interesting, is it really correct? Kasha, huh?
It's not the blood.
So that's what Taisus answers, it's not the blood. The Hesha, this is a Kasha of the Ri, Kasha of the Ri, let it be actual until this is Shom, he's squeezing out the blood. So the last three lines, Hesha Rabin Adam, Dam Chalaz, and Roy Litzim, Mifkid Pocket. It's an excretion, it comes from a gland. The blood that keeps the fish alive is one, Delahud. And the Trelis is from a gland. It's a totally different thing. Mifkid Pocket means that it's a sitting there like in a pocket, a container, and it holds it. It's not the blood that circulates that keeps the animal alive. It's not dam at all. It's bichlal not dam. That's what Taisus answers. Yeah, that's a correct answer. And it is. That's the correct answer. It's talking about dam. But halachically, what Taisus said, if you'll take a fish and you squeeze out the blood, so Taisus holds that that's called Natilus Neshama. They say that here it's a gland, and it's held in a pocket, and it's not the blood that circulates. So you can't say over here ki adam o'anavish. But if it would be, if you would be squeezing out the blood from the fish, that would be Kiyad Damo HaNefesh, that would be Metilus Nisham, would be a Kol Dav Shoche. This is really a question. Is that really correct? By fish there is no din that dam is also. Dam is also behema chai v'yoyf. That's how it says in Chumash. Behema chai v'yoyf. You have to salt chickens and you have to salt flesh. You don't have to salt fish. You put in salt, that it should taste good. But you don't salt the fish in order to take out the dam, because the dam is also, the dam is mutter. So Halacha says that the dam dogim hagovim is mutter. So maybe the Gzeres HaKosuv that says ki adam hu anefesh, that the blood that circulates keeps the animal alive, and therefore squeezing out blood is malikot lekula, malikot lepagulus, and tulus and shame. Maybe one could argue a point. Tosis doesn't agree. Tosis the Sefer doesn't agree. Maybe one could have presented a position that only applies to behema chai v'yoyif, where the halacha recognizes that there's basa lechud and dam lechud, what the Gemara calls dam acholuk mipsara. The dam constitutes a separate entity from the basar, and there's an isakoris for eating the dam. So maybe there the Gzeres HaKosuv applies ki adam hu anevish. But by fish, where the halacha says that dam is not choluk mipsara, so maybe there this whole halacha shouldn't apply. Tosfos holds not so. Tosfos holds not so. Tosfos says that sof kosof, bottom line, the blood circulation is what keeps the fish alive also. So they hold the definition of life and death by the fish is also totally on the blood circulation. But one could have, you got to look in the Rishonim, but everybody agrees with this taste. No, there is a din of killing. The taste is quoted in the Gemara and Daf Kuf Zayin. Ashala dag ben ayam, if you catch a fish, kimish yovish bo kisela, yichai mishum mishoche. On Shabbos, but it wouldn't depend. The definition of death of the fish wouldn't really depend on the cessation of the circulatory system. One could argue, Tosfos holds not so. Tosfos holds fish al pidin is the same as behemo chai v'yoyf. But I thought maybe one could argue the point and say because dama is not cholok mipsarei, so maybe therefore it's that Gzeres HaKosuv shouldn't apply. Anyway, Tosfos doesn't say like me.
Maybe
the harmony of Festus, when you squeeze out that dam, even though Festus not asking for the dam, because the animal is going to die because of that. It's like taking an animal out of the water and leaving it. Right, so that's what the Gemara asks. So the Gemara asks, true, you're squeezing out the gland, but sof kosof, you're killing the halazon. And it's mamashe psik reshe. Don't tell me I'm doing one thing, I'm squeezing out the chalas that's from the gland, and then the male of the animal may or may not die. If I do a pula hamuteris, which may or may not result in a pula asura, that's called davashena miskavein, that's a machalek zabuta reb shimin, called a terakula. Tosis points out, machalek zabuta reb shimin by davashena miskavein is not restricted only to hilchas Shabbos, not based on malechas machshevis. Taisa proves it. The Gemara talks about Mochiksus, the Taisa Diba Maskam is Sasek. The Taisa proves it. In Kola Terakula, you don't require Malachas Nasheris. Mokoli Sumashabatar Lashakwa Malachas Nasheris, and nonetheless, Vishoru Dovashenim is Kabin Kiddi Omar, in the fourth wide line in the Taisa. Kiddi Omar, as the Gemara says, himself and Mishnah, Mochiksus, Mochin Kadak Nashle, Shab Macham, Nacham, Sham, Nacham, they quote a Mishnah in Klein like that. That the machlekes, the original machlekes satanai by davshen miskavein, is not only applicable to hilchas Shabbos. Gemara has davshen miskavein like this: a guy wants to move in the backyard. He's sitting over here, and then all of a sudden the sun starts to shine over. He doesn't want to sit over here; wants to sit over there. Otnish can koyach to pick up the chair and carry it over there. So he wants to schlep the chair on the ground. He wants the gorer odam meet the keys to the safsal. So the Gemara has a machlekes satanayim. If it's a heavy chair and the ground is a little soft, it's not cement floor, it's a dirt floor. So by moving the chair, you may or may not cause a charitz in the ground. So hasofik deraisa l'chumra. If you make a charitz, so if it's basodeh achayfa guma, if it's basodeh chay mishum choresh, and if it's babayis chay mishum bonah. So if the guy he knows in advance that it's a sofik deraisa, by moving the chair on the ground, by gorah to meet the keys of the safsal, he may be causing a haritz, may turn out to be a malacha. So you ought to say, Safik deraisa l'chumra. So Safik deraisa l'chumra, that's not true. Because the Gemara says Beferish and Shabbat that that's called Kalach HaYad. If you want to make a Harisha in the Karka, you use a shovel and you dig a normal way. Or you use a drill and you dig a normal fashion. If you're digging a Haritz, a guy wants to make a Haritz and he doesn't use a shovel, doesn't have a shovel, doesn't want to use his own fingers, he's going to get all the dirt in his fingernails, so he takes a piece of furniture and he starts moving the heavy piece of furniture on the ground, bimkaim a shovel. So the Gemara says that that's not normal. That's Kalach HaYad. And that's a lack of malach mashav. So he won't be chayv. So it's not going to be a sfeika. It's not true what I just said. So let it be a sfeika deraisa l'chumer. So if it's not true, so let it be sfeika derabbanan l'kula. So it's only the worst it can be. It's only derabbanan. If he wants to make a haritz, the Gemara said the fair it's only kalach hayad, and you're not sure whether he's going to make a haritz. So call it sfeika derabbanan l'kula. So somehow the Gemara doesn't say like that. The Gemara doesn't say that whenever you do a pula hamutar, I want to move furniture. I want to move the heavy piece of furniture from here to here. And I don't know whether it's going to make a charitz or not. So the Gemara doesn't say, well, if it's going to be a malacha deraisa, sfeika deraisa l'chumer. The worst it can be is an isha derabbanan, because only kalach hayad. So it says sfeika derabbanan l'kula. The Gemara doesn't say it like that. The Gemara says both by isurim deraisa as well as by isurim derabbanan, there's an ongoing debate. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda holds davar shenim miskaven is aser. If I do a pula hamuteres like here, moving furniture is a pula hamuteres. You're allowed to move furniture on Shabbos. Unless the guy, his wife, wants to rearrange the whole furniture every Shabbos. He wants to change the dining room into the living room. The living room should be the den should be the bedroom, the bedroom should be the den. They're moving every week, every Shabbos, they move the furniture upstairs, downstairs. So that's a tircha. It's an isa. It's a different isa. It's not a malach. It's an isa. Shabbos on Shavuos, an essay. Rambam HaChumash and Parsha Samar says that's a different isa. That you mevatel mitzvah Shabbos and Shavuos. But let's say you're not moving all the furniture in the whole house, going crazy. He just wants to move a chair in the backyard from here to here. So moving furniture, not such a major tircha. Moving furniture per se is a pula hamuteris. But he knows in advance that this pula hamuteris may or may not result in a pula asura, may or may not cause a development of a charitz in the karka. So that's a machlekes of Yehuda Reb Shimon, where they say Dov Shenim is Kavan is Osir, Dov Shenim is Kavan is Mutan. It's across the board. It's by their Isis as well as their Abundance. Even if it's an Isa their Isis that's involved, Reb Shimon still says Dov Shenim is Kavan Mutan. And even if it's only an Isa their Abundance, Rabbi Yehuda still holds that Dov Shenim is Kavan is Osir. You don't say Sveka their Isis Lechumra, Sveka their Abundance Lechumra. You don't say it like that. So Taisis points out that you shouldn't make this Taisis Misasik. Points out on the fourth wide line, the third and the fourth wide line. You shouldn't make a mistake and think that the machlekes of Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda by Dov Shenim Miskaven with the Tzos HaMutar is restricted only to Hilchas Shabbos. It's not true. Machlekes is in Kol Yisurim. In Kol HaTorah Kula, the Lo Shayach Bu Malachas Machshavos, the requirements of Lech Machshavos doesn't apply to Kol HaTorah Kula. For example, wearing shapkas. Wearing shapkas, there's no condition of Malachas Machshavos, and still there is the same machlekes HaTana. Am I permitted? Let's say I work for a clothing company. When you go downtown, you always see the way they're moving stacks of clothing from one shop to the other shop. Yeah, fur coats and suits and jackets and everything. So let's say in the wintertime, the Mishnah has a guy's going with a whole bunch of jackets on his back. He knows that they're all shatnas, and he's selling it to Nachrim. It's not a shaylov lift neither. Shatnas and mutabano. You're allowed to get on off from shatnas. So you're allowed to be in the business. You're selling it to goyim, so there's no lift neither. So the shaila is, though, instead of moving it on a rack, on wheels, I'm going to have it leaning on my back. So is that forbidden or not? So the two prohibitions in shatnas. The Gemara says in the beginning of Yevamos, there's an isa levisha and there's an isa ha'alo. One pasuk says, Beger klaim shatnas lo yalo alecha. The other pasuk says, lo silba shatnas temra pishtam yakum. So lo silba shatnas means to wear it like a piece of clothing. And lo yalo alecha means even it's just a garbage bag. And I lean a cloth garbage bag on my the Mishnah in Kilayim has like that. He has a cloth bag to hold the garbage in, and he leans it on his back when he goes down to the basement to throw out the garbage. And it's chilly in the basement, and he's very happy that he has this on his back to keep him warm. So he's in violation of la yala alecha. You have to have halo sheyesh ba hano. If he doesn't get any hano from the halo from having it on his back, then there's no prohibition. So what happens? The guy's going to transport. He doesn't know what the weather is like today. He's wearing a jacket, he's wearing a tie, he's wearing a shirt. He's going in the street, and he has these five jackets on his back. If it's chilly outside, and the jackets are all shatnas, if it's chilly outside, so he's going to be getting hanof from the fact that he has the jackets on his back. It's going to keep him warm. And if it's not chilly outside, so he's going to be getting hotter. It's going to be uncomfortable. He's not going to be happy about the fact that that's what he does for a living. He moves clothing from one place to the other. So the Mishnah has a machleg zabuna Reb Shimon. When the mocher ksus mochin kedarkam, a batzlei schabin v'chamim v'nei achamim v'chamim v'nei achamim, so you say, dob shenim skabin is mutter. He's doing haloas kalayim, not interested in hanor. He's not interested in getting hanor from the halor. So dob shenim skabin is mutter. Or should he say no like Reb Yudah, that since he knows in advance that there may or may not be a possibility of getting hanor from this halor, so sofek is lechumra. Dob shenim skabin is aser. So that's the machlokes Reb Yudah and Reb Shimon and the Mishnah Kilayim, Perek Tes. So Tes the truth from that Mishnah, you see the machlokes Reb Yudah Reb Shimon applies in Kol HaTorah Kula, even in areas where there is no requirement for Melechus Mashevis. Not a Pratim Melechus Mashevis. True, there is a strong opinion of Rishem, there is a big machlokes. If you take a look, there's a gigantic Tesis, a Mem Aleph from the Beis. So Rabbi Kivega has an asterisk about 15 lines into the wide lines in the Tosfos. Tosfos comes up with a chiddush, and then Rabbi Kivega gives you a few cross references to other Tosfos and to other Rashi's. If you look in the beginning of Ksubas, there are pages and pages and pages and pages in the Shita and the Kubetzas. Keeps on going on and on and on in the first pair, at the beginning of the first pair. Rav Yudah's opinion that Dov Shein HaMizkavin is Osir on Shabbos, is that also their Isa? Machlokes Rav Yudah, Rav Shimon is in Kol HaTorah Kula on the level of their Isa. Rav Yudah has Dov Shein HaMizkavin is Osir, Rav Shimon has Dov Shein HaMizkavin is Mutter. So Tesis claims that's the Girsa that they had in Yuma, Daf Lama Dalar on the base, the gigantic Tesis in Yuma. Their claim is that Rav Yudah's opinion Dov Shein HaMizkavin is Osir on Shabbos, the maximum that could be is only mid the rabbanu. Rav Yudah didn't call a Torah kula, Zosha Miskavin is osir min haTorah. But on Shabbos it's only osir mid the rabbanu. It can't be osir min haTorah because it's a lack of malachas mashevis. Sof kol sof in Ilchus Shabbos you need malachas mashevis. It's a dovish ainu miskavin. By definition there's no malachas mashevis. It's ainu miskavin. So Rav Yudah only osirs on Shabbos mid the rabbanu, exera otu shar kol haTorah kula. Shar kol haTorah kula dovish ainu miskavin is osir. So today, lahash v'shabbos l'sharkol atarkula, the meiduchum. We already said that thesis. Thesis says, let's say malach shein tzvicha legufa. It also happens to be a machlek of Yudah Reb Shimon. Coincidentally, the same two tanoim. Reb Shimon is makel on both, and Reb Yudah is machmer on both. Coincidentally, so this machlek is the malach shein tzvicha legufa. Reb Shimon is makel. He says that it's mutam and atar, but it's also in the rabbanon. Ein tzvicha legufa is also in rabbanon. So thesis basically asks the question. Why is it that Ein Tzvicha Legufa is Asim Rabbanon and Dov Shein HaMizkavin they left it Mutter? Why didn't they ask that Dov Shein HaMizkavin also in the Rabbanon? So Tosfos explains, because the klal of Malach Shein Tzvicha Legufa is only a Reb Shimon Shita, that is Mutter, and Atar is only a din in Hilchos Shabbos. Even in Shemitah, even in Malach HaShviyas, we have certain Avodas HaKarka, are forbidden, so there the klal of Ein Tzvicha Legufa does not apply. Even Reb Shimon holds that it's only a Nisa Derais, if it's Tzvicha Legufa, so that cloud does not apply to Malachas Shviyas, only to Malachas Shabbos V'yontif. So since it's, Taisa says, since Ein Tzvicha Legufa is a unique Kula that only applies in Hilchos Shabbos, so Reb Shimon holds, Kedei Lahashvi Shabbos, L'shar Kol HaTor Kula, so they introduce a Nisa Midirabon, they ask a Midirabon. Same according to Reb Yudah. Dov Shein HaMizkavin according to Reb Yudah, Kol HaTor Kula is Osam and HaTorah. And on Shabbos it's muta because it's a lack of malachas mashevis. The Tosfos writes a loshen in Yuma, daf lamed hey. There's a long Tosfos goes from lamed dalam in the days to lamed hey medal. Gigantic Tosfos. The Tosfos says kidei lahashvi Shabbos l'shar kol haTorah kula. So the yasid dov shein miskaven mid the rabbanon according to Reb Yudah. But according to Reb Shimon, dov shein miskaven is muter and kol haTorah kula. So why should you? It's muter and Shabbos, muter and kol haTorah kula. It's not muter because of a lack of malachas mashevis. Muter and kol haTorah kula where there is no need for malachas mashevis. So why should you throw in chumras with the rabbanu for no good reason? You only make chumras on Hilchos Shabbos kedei lahash. The consideration is Tosfos says kedei lahash v'Shabbos l'shar kol haTorah kula. But if in kol haTorah kula dov shein HaMizkavin is mutter, it's going to be mutter by Shabbos also. There's no reason to ask him with the rabbanu. So Nachum also, the Gemara says over here, when you squeeze out the gland, and you get out the tchelus from the chalazon. That itself is not really netilus neshama. You're not really, the tchelus is coming out, that's not the dam. The adamo anefesh is the blood that circulates, keeps the fish alive. You're not squeezing that out. But the mele, once you're catching that, you're going to kill the animal. It's the chapsikration. The mele, you're going to be killing the animal. You catch too long, you're going to kill. So that's the Gemara's kasha. Why isn't that the lechayv nami mishum netilus neshama? When he's potseya, when he's squeezing out the gland, isn't he causing that the animal should die? So the Gemara says, no, but they're two different actions. It's a dovashen miskavim. He's doing a pula hamutaris, namely squeezing out the gland from the trelis, and this causes a different action to happen, namely he's causing the animal to die. Craig the Gemara, but if he's going to quetch the gland long enough, it's a psikreshi that is going to kill the animal. So, oh, machlekes of yudarev shem and dovashen miskavim also mutar, is only when he's doing pula hamoteris, which may or may not result in a pula asur. But here it's about doyas that the animal is going to die. So let it be asami tam psikreshe. So to this, the Gemara gives an answer. Shani hocho. He's not happy that the animal dies. So he's not happy. So therefore what? Kozman that the chalazon is alive, the tchelus that he catches out is clearer color. Once the chalazon dies, it's not going to be so clear. So he's not happy that the chalazon is dying. So he's not happy. So what? Basof kosof, he did kill the chalazon. So why is Nichai? So you mean, Rashi writes, when is Reb Shimon Maida that a psik reisha is osur? If he doesn't care one way or the other, hech de leichtesle. He doesn't care if the malacha occurs, if the malacha doesn't occur. However, over here, where it's detrimental to him, it's against his wishes, lay nichale, that's a psikreshe, the lay nichale is unhappy about it, so here Reb Shimon would be moida. That's where Rashi writes. So Tosis jumps on Rashi. Tosis says it's against the Gemara. Taisus tzei nichalei keechad aleitzel tzivei. So Taisus writes, Rashi pirush adam rabshim sigresh anamad alich bislei. Doesn't care one way or the other. Keechad alich bislei, doesn't care, misrami, doesn't care if the malacha occurs or does not occur. So Taisus bops Rashi over the head, beleisa. Rashi is wrong. That is, it's a psikreshe, and he doesn't care one way or the other about the result, then Rab Shimon will not be moida that he's died. It's going to be a malacha shein tzvicha legufa. The only time Reb Shimon holds, why the Reb Shimon be psikreshe, if it's a psikreshe de nichale, he's happy about the results, and therefore, if the result come, the psikreshe, it's a vadois that the results are going to come about, that's going to be a malocha tzvicha legufo. If it's, he doesn't leich this light one direction or the other, it's beferish in the Gemara, and daf kul gimel. The Reb Shimon will not say chai b'leisa, Rashi is wrong. So mezarid zrodin b'ara d'chavrei, but the Reb Shimon perakabayin the v'hasam loich b'slei misram b'ilam misram. There he doesn't care. That's a beferish in Gemara, kuv gimel. Let's take a look. What does it say then? Right.
So over here, this is a kabuda. So you learn this way, this way.
You Rashi cannot learn like Tosis. Yeah. Okay. That's correct. But what Rashi writes is a teller. That's what Tosis says. But Rashi writes is a teller. Rashi himself writes not on daf kuf gimel. Rashi has the ferish like Tosis. Here, what does the Mishnah say? Chorish kol shu is kai. Why chorish means hachana lezriya. He prepares the soda. Chorish ba bayis chay mishum bona, and chayif aguma ba soda chay mishum chorish. Then it says, a mezare kol shehu chayif. Mezare means if he's yanking out, if he's yanking out the weeds, so the male of the stuff can grow better. We'll be able to plant over there. So the Gemara has there Tana Rabbanan Hatol Shulshan Amzad Zorim Malachilu Kigrogis and Lepemit Malapi Agdi. Fine. And Liapis says Akarka Kol Shehem. If the person is pulling out weeds in order to feed it to a behemah, so that's kotzer. So there's one shear. However much hay you need to feed an animal. Kimalopi Agdi. And if his intention is Liapis says Akarka, then it's Kol Shehem. Then it's a Malach of Chorish, and Chorish is the Kol Shehem. If this is koshu, so why do you ever need a shear kimelo piagdi? Whenever you yank out a little bit of weed from the sada, let it be chay mishum chorish. What do you have to be chay mishum kotzer? The kotzer needs a bigger shear. Let it be chay mishum chorish koshu. Kula nami lo liapis as hakarka nino. You're always liapis the kark when you're yanking out weeds. And for the gemara. And the Gemara, right before the Mishnah, it's in someone else's field. He doesn't care one way or the other, whether the other guy, it's not my field, what do I care? So if I'm yanking out weeds in order, I'm gambling from my next door neighbor, I'm a gambling. So I'm yanking out the little hay in order to feed my behemoth, I couldn't care less whether his food is, whether his vegetables are going to grow, not going to grow, it's not my geshef. I want to steal some hay in order to feed my behemoth. So then the shear is kishir kotzer, and kotzer has a shear kimelo piagdi. Sorry, I let it be a psikreshe that the field is now nisaken. Now the vegetables will grow better. So Gemara says, but it's a psikreshe that he's not interested. Psikreshe la nichale. So really, you're not going to chat because kavod biara dechavre. How does Rashi say? Rashi writes leichpis leili apis. Rashi writes over there. He doesn't care one way or the other. The Gemara says, since it's leich to slay, so even Reb Shimon will agree. When you say Reb Shimon is more the psikreshe, that it's also that's if it's psikreshe the nichale, psikreshe la nichale. Even Reb Shimon will say that it's not a psikreshe. Rabbi Kveger tells you, look in the Rashi on Ardaf. Rashi on Ardaf says, whenever it's leich to slay, doesn't care one way or the other, then it is a psikreshe, then it is also. The only time Reb Shimon is not the psikreshe, the la nichale, when it's detrimental to his purposes. So Rabbi Kivega says, look in the Rashi Dafayin Hay in the Taisus. The Taisus Dafayin Hay asks the Kasha. That the Gemara Kuv Gimel, Rashi on Kuv Gimel, there's no other way to read the Gemara Kuv Gimel. Rashi Bal Kocha Yad Amen. Rashi translates the Gemara. With that Rashi, you got to say the same shot anyway. So that's what Taisus asks, that Kasha. Okay? Said that. How is that a teretz? No,
so only by
Chabura
do we say to be mechuyev.
Uh-huh.
You need
Lenin. And why does Lenin Nichalei help?
Lenin Nichalei can't attach his kavanah.
I didn't say that. Good. Okay. Good. This could be a good time. We'll have to say over what he said. Okay. We'll have to say over now. Today's too late. Okay. Next time we'll have that on Sunday. We'll have to discuss it. But that's Tosis Kasha. Rabbi Kiveger and Daf Kuv Gimel Amal just pointing out that Tosis asked that Kasha. The Rosh Hashanah and Daf points out. If you look in the Jewish Vechidish of Rabbi Kiveger, he asked this Kasha against Rashi. And he says that's exactly what Tosis Safanah. Tosis asked that Kasha. So Rabbi Kivega later, and the Gilyan Ashash says that Tosis has the kasha against Rashi. It's not that it's his kasha. He's just saying, oh, but that Tosis and Adav has that kasha against Rashi. So you have a teretz that Rashi and Ishitosa will be safe. Okay. We'll have to work through that. We got to learn the other Tosis, Mesasakun. Okay. Okay, we left off in the middle of everything. We didn't finish. We left all the loose ends here. Good?